Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
A brown out situation. Welcome in the beginning of another week of the Ben Maller Show. We are together surviving a weekend in the air everywhere as we avoid the rotten apple coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR. Emanating live from the house, the doghouse of the broadcasting business, the overnights of Fox Sports Radio, the FSR studio, somewhere in the Northwoods, and we are back at it again. Our lead this hour, we begin in Baltimore, an AFC North divisional slobber knocker. At least that was the billing. Al Michaels still enjoying the extended Thanksgiving, the perks of a career in broadcasting, and Al Michaels not there, but Mike Tirico was with Chris Collinsworth. I thought Drew Brees was doing the game, but Collinsworth, he came back to do the game there on NBC. It was Baker Mayfield versus Lamar Jackson above the marquee. Big quarterback versus big quarterback. Whee! So exciting! Oh, so, my God. Did you watch? Maybe not. Maybe you were tapped out after the full Sunday of activity. Well, Lamar Jackson almost tapped out. He had a bunch of bonehead plays, but he did have a 13-yard touchdown to Mark Andrews. Just lob it up and let Andrews catch it in the third quarter, and that was enough. He had not one, not two, not three, but four interceptions, and Baltimore still wins the game, 16-10. They slip past the anemic Cleveland offense in the Sunday night football game. Now, Lamar Jackson was terrible, but they won the game. Baker Mayfield was also farting in the wind. And since the better story is in the losing locker room, the better story here is on the Cleveland side of things. And Baker Mayfield's been hanging on by a thread for a good stretch of time now. It has not gone the year the way of Mayfield, and a very important year, right? This is a huge year for Baker Mayfield. The Browns are still contemplating whether or not to give him the massive contract extension and lock him down with a bunch of guaranteed money in Cleveland. And the clock is ticking, and every one of these performances by Baker Mayfield makes that a little more uneasy if you're the Cleveland Browns. And since the better story is on the losing side, there was one comment in particular that I want to highlight here as we talk about this game. Kevin Stefanski, the genius of a year ago, who's now the village idiot, Kevin Stefanski, who is the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He was asked point blank if a change at quarterback during the bye week is a possibility. And Stefanski said, quote, no. Then he asked the inquisitive reporter the question back. He said, let me ask you a question. Why would we do that? No, we're not doing that, he said, close quote. All right, so let us discuss. The question, is it that outrageous to think that Baker Mayfield deserves to be benched? Does he deserve to keep his starting job based on performance? And if you ask the question, does he deserve to keep the starting job in Cleveland? I'm shaking my head. No. I've got cyanide, Humpty Dumpty, and menu. And we'll connect all of this together in the Maller monologue. Now, first of all, this is, I believe, much like what I do for a living, radio, where we get graded based on how many people download our podcast and listen to the live show. It is a results-based business. Baker Mayfield doesn't have a forever contract. He's trying to get a forever contract. And if you are truly judged based on your performance, this is not an established legacy player. The answer here is it's an Occam's razor situation. Very straightforward. There's no need to make this more complicated than it needs to be. We're talking about football here. This is not calculus. And they've added the Browns at this point with Baker Mayfield some cyanide to the brownie mix. And they've scored 17 points a game over the last 5 weeks. And that number's even inflated when you include the 41-point total that's in the last 5 weeks. So it's actually a lot lower than that. And Baker Mayfield, this is very simple. Again, Occam's razor. Simplest answer is the way to go. Baker Mayfield, in this moment here, if you watch the Browns, Baker Mayfield is simply not getting the job done. It's not that hard. The last 5 weeks, Mayfield's passer rating is under 80. He's completed 56% of his passes, and it's just painful to watch him sling the ball down the field for the Browns. It's not working. I have no skin in the game. I'm not a Cleveland Brown apologist. In fact, I've been called a Cleveland Brown hater over the years. But if the Browns have any intention of getting in the playoffs, Baker Mayfield's not going to lead them down the path. He does not have a flashlight. The path is dark. It is dangerous. He has no weapon. His arm is not a weapon at this particular point. Now, secondly, to expand on this train of thought even further, all right, Lamar Jackson, and I watched this Sunday night game because I'm a glutton for punishment. Lamar Jackson was trying to give the win to the other team, right? He would say, listen, I don't want the W. You take the W, Baker Mayfield. You need it, right? And the delivery of the win was at Baker Mayfield's front door. And Baker Mayfield, it was knock, knock. Who's there? This is the delivery service. I've got a W from Lamar Jackson. All you have to do is sign. You get the W. Baker Mayfield does not answer the door. He does not sign the proof of delivery, and poof, goes the W into the loss column. But Lamar Jackson had four interceptions. Very rarely does a quarterback stand in the winner's circle in that situation. Baker Mayfield's Browns turned those four interceptions into a grand total of 3 points. That's it, 3 points, and the proof in the pudding. On this night, Sunday Night Football, Baker Mayfield completed less than 50% of his passes for less than 7 yards per attempt, 6.6 yards per attempt, was sacked a couple times, and just sucked at a time you cannot suck. And there were three consecutive Ravens drives that ended in interceptions. And it wasn't great defense by the Cleveland Browns. Like, Lamar was just giving the ball. He was tossing it up. And the Browns just happened to be in the area and were picking the ball off, and yet only 10 points. And the biggest indictment of Baker Mayfield is the fact that you only get 10 points. The Ravens have the NFL's coming into play here, the NFL's 31st ranked pass defense. 31st in the NFL. So you combine that, getting four turnovers, two of them in really good field position for the Cleveland offense, and you get 3 points out of that? Only the Jets have been worse at stopping the pass and containing the opposing quarterback in terms of passing yardage this season. The only team worse than the Ravens. That is an emasculating situation. Now, Cleveland has an easy out. They've got it. It's just laid out for them. It's obvious. It's all right there in front of you to stop playing Baker Mayfield and to save face and say, well, Baker, come back next year. Play the Humpty Dumpty card from the bottom of the deck. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. That's Baker Mayfield. Boom! See you later. Baker Mayfield, put him in the injury tent, and dare I say, Case Keenum. At the very worst, Case Keenum is a lateral move at this point. It's not necessarily an upgrade, but you're not getting worse, and it's at least the same. And it's not Baker Mayfield. Now, final thought. As for the Ravens, they get the victory, and they move to the number one seed in the AFC. They're the top dog, and if they continue to win, they'll be the number one seed. They have the bye week, only one bye in the NFL, 1 week off for the number one seed, a very wobbly number one seed. Very, very wobbly John Harbaugh's team, you talk about not winning style points, that is the Ravens in a nutshell. Had an ugly game against the Miami Dolphins, and then they came back here, had a little extra time, and too close for comfort. Too close for comfort. They are the ugly ducklings of number one seeds at this point. Of course, you can make the same argument about Arizona. Arizona lost to Carolina, and they blow, and also lost to Green Bay, and they had guys who are delivering packages, catching passes. There's a lot of fraudulent teams out there. The Ravens, though, are 18-2 in primetime games now under John Harbaugh. So they were already 17-2. They can stack on another win on the stack of pancakes there for the Ravens. However, not aesthetically pleasing. And if you look at John Harbaugh's team right now, and you look around, you're like, wait a minute here. This menu item next to the Ravens, it's Sloppy Joe's or Sloppy John Harbaugh's. Because all season long, as smooth as a nice rocky beach would be the Ravens. They've had defensive meltdowns. The turnovers have popped up. And they have the number one seed in the AFC, Lamar Jackson. Nobody wants to say, hey, he's not playing that well, because you're not supposed to say that because he won an MVP award. And once you win an MVP award, you're insulated. I'll be the only person to say Lamar Jackson is not playing very well for the Ravens, and they're winning in spite of that. They're overcoming the mistakes. But here we are, well past the midway point in the NFL season, and Lamar's passer rating, his quarterback rating, is below 88 on the season. He's got 15 passing touchdowns and 12 interceptions. The running makes up for some of that, but not all that. And what I'm trying to say here is it is not a sustainable path for the Ravens. It is an unsustainable road. So either the defense is going to have to get much, much better, which is possible, but I haven't seen that yet, or Lamar Jackson is going to have to cut down on all the mistakes. Some combination of that's going to have to happen, or the Ravens do not scare anyone, anyone. And you're going to look at them and say, well, please, come on. It's ridiculous. What are you doing here? All right, it is the Ben Maller Show as we press on here in the early part of a new week upon us. Now, here is Kevin Stefanski, the coach of the Browns, the aforementioned coach. I gave you one of his money quotes here where he talked about the fact that he was gobsmacked at the idea of benching Baker Mayfield. Here's Stefanski saying that the Browns need to get away for a little bit.
Very disappointing and frustrated in that game. Credit to Baltimore. They did a good job. They beat us. And then we got to get to this bye week and fix some things, get healthy, unplug for a minute. And then we got Baltimore again and a stretch run. And that's what's in front of us.
Yes. I think the team already has unplugged. I think that part is done. Here's one more soundbite from Baker Mayfield, who goes into his bag of sports cliches and bigs out. He brings out a classic in the bag of cliches.
We just need to make more plays.
Make more plays!
As simple as that sounds, I mean, there's plays there to be made. Certain situations where we need to have answers for the zero pressure stuff. I mean, they did a good job today of, you know, when they showed zero pressure and bailing out, and then when they weren't showing it, they brought it. So, I mean, they did a really good job today. We just need to make more plays, and we need to have a little bit more confidence. Need to go back, regroup, and just trust that we have the guys to make those plays.
So did he go on sportscliche.com before the game and pick that one out, or did he wait till after the game? Like, which one was it? There's so many different cliches he could have made. This was a wake-up call, or we weren't mentally prepared. He could have said that, or one of my favorites, they ate our lunch. Any of those would have worked. It's going to be a long plane ride home. It's not a long plane ride home from Baltimore to Cleveland, so you couldn't really use that one.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Taking a bite out of some bad cheese. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we brave the elements coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and extremely powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the truck stop of Sports Talk, the Fox Sports Radio studios, somewhere at a secret location in the Northwoods. Hope you're well. We're back at it again this hour. Our lead coming from the NFL, the frozen tundra. Wasn't frozen. It was cold, but it was not frozen. Just wait a couple weeks for that. Green Bay hosting Los Angeles, the Packers and the Rams in an NFC Donnybrook. Big game. Joe Buck was there. And Troy Aikman. You know they love working twice over the Thanksgiving holidays. They look forward to that. And I don't know if you had a chance to check this game out or not. It was the America's Game of the Week. Maybe you missed it. So Aaron Rodgers passing for over 300 yards, couple of touchdowns on a bad toe. We keep hearing about how bad his toe is. And the Packers outlasting the LA Rams 36-28 in a high scoring matchup. Green Bay improving to 9-3. The Rams dropped to 7-4 with the loss. So they come out of the bye and they pick up where they left off prior to the bye, where they had a couple of stinkers, and they come back with another stinker. The better story here is in the losing locker room, as the Rams dropping their third straight game, and they have to come to terms with that. Sean McVay was peppered with questions about Matthew Stafford, who fumbled and threw another pick six in the loss, and McVay stood there taking question after question. Now, we actually have one McVay soundbite I want to highlight here, but we'll play. And it involves his response. There was one sentence, which is the money quote here, from Sean McVay, and it was about his level of confidence in Matthew Stafford. As Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the audio tape.
Upset, but I'm not, you know, this is a very important thing to all of us. I have total confidence and belief in Matthew Stafford. And I think the narrative, you know, when everybody wants to throw out six turnovers, all of those have a totally different story. And not all of those are his fault. And this is a great team game. We're going to stay connected. There's a lot of things that I get frustrated because I feel responsible for some of those spots that our players are in. And I want to do better for them as well. And so that's why you get me stirred up a little bit. But I don't mean to ever feel like if my tone is in a disrespectful manner, I apologize for that.
No, I'm not accepting your apology. Listen, that money quote, I have total confidence and belief in Matthew Stafford. That was the money quote from the coach of the Rams. That's the big headline. Total confidence. All right, the question, as we discuss, do you believe that Sean McVay and his passionate defense of Matthew Stafford are legit, or is this just coach speak? So I actually believe, I'm nodding my head yes, that I'm buying that Sean McVay is all in still in Matthew Stafford. So I've got Tammy Wynette, Sorcerer's Workshop, and Doctorate. And we'll tie all of these things together, and we'll shoot the bull is what we're going to do here. All right, now I'm not buying the thought that McVay's turned on Stafford. I don't believe that to be true. Sean McVay ran into Matthew Stafford, as the story goes, and in the offseason, they were at the same vacation destination, and one thing led to another, and the relationship was consummated. A trade was made. Sean McVay got into the Matthew Stafford business, and I don't believe he's going to want to get out of it. At least he can't get out of it. The Rams are in a situation now where they have to make this work. It worked for the first part of the season. It will work again. All right? This is merely a bump in the road. That is the mindset of Sean McVay, the coach of the Rams. And you will know the moment that changes is when Sean McVay comes out and does not bite his tongue. When he comes out and names Stafford and mistakes and blames him, because that's what happened with Jared Goff. And you will know that is a point of demarcation. That will be the Waterloo moment. We're not at that Waterloo moment yet. It's three games. That's it. And Sean McVay continues to speak in cliches and platitudes and things along those lines. Jared Goff was spoon-fed and still could not figure it out, and McVay eventually just had regular meltdowns. So even with Matthew Stafford taking a ride on the vomit comet, and that's certainly what he's done, I'm not running away from that. The Rams know he's been terrible the last few games, but McVay, the fact that he's publicly supporting him is a classic Tammy Wynette tune from back in the day. Stand by your man. The Rams traded away the deed to the family farm for Matthew Stafford. So for better or worse, they're connected. And Sean McVay knows that he is tied to Matthew Stafford. When you trade two first-round picks, the Rams could have gotten just about any available player at that position they wanted who was willing to be traded, right? Who was on the trading market like Stafford. They could have gotten anyone. They chose on this guy. They threw the arrow, and it landed on Matthew Stafford. And so Stafford, not only is he going to be the quarterback the rest of this year, he's going to be the quarterback next season and probably the season after that to make this work. Otherwise, you've made a horrific mistake, and the Rams haven't made a horrific mistake. Again, this guy is very important to point this out. Behind closed doors, I'm sure they're working to make the necessary adjustments. Part B of this, though, is Matthew Stafford was the front runner for the most valuable player award in the first 8 weeks of the season. So now he was the envy of the NFL. Everyone was, I can't believe he's setting records for a quarterback who changed teams. Now everything goes sideways, and the problem is a lot of sports fans are idiots, and they believe that, well, whatever just happened is going to continue. And when you combine the troll element of that, right? When things go sideways, and the trolls get involved that really have no lives, the losers, and they're like, well, this is going to be the way it is all, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, we know that's not true. The reason that Vegas wins so much money, the reason that sports wagering is so profitable is because of this mindset. It's a flaw in human beings, and especially, you know, sports fans in particular. Right? He was bad with the Lions. He was an MVP for 8 weeks, but now he's bad, Stafford. He's going to suck for the rest of time. Now, Sean McVay is going to go into the Sorcerer's Workshop and come up with the magic potion. Now, work out the kinks here. The Rams have absolutely been manhandled because of Stafford, but that is fixable. This is a fixable situation. And if you think he's just going to throw pick sixes every single game the rest of time, you are a big dummy. You're a big dummy. Now, it has been ugly. And the Rams have been outscored by the Titans, 49ers, and Packers 95-54. And so Matthew Stafford needs to play better. He sucks right now at a time you cannot suck. But you fix the problem. You make the necessary adjustments and get him back to playing the way that he had been playing at the beginning of the year. You fix the mistakes. You clean up the slop. And much of the suckage has been self-inflicted. In fact, if you look at the numbers, 27 of the 95 points, 28% of the points scored against the Rams in the last three games have come directly off Matthew Stafford's four pick sixes. He's got four of them over the last three games. That's 28.4%. Another 14 points have come following Stafford interceptions. So if you do the arithmetic on that, that is 43% of the points allowed in this losing streak are a direct result of Matthew Stafford interceptions. But wait, there's more. Toss in a fumble that led to a Packer touchdown on Sunday, and now we're up over 50% of the opposing points scored during the three-game losing streak is on Matthew Stafford. So the way I look at it, that's easily fixable. You knock that out, boom. You've improved by 50%. You're in a much better spot. All right, last word here. So now some of the Ram fans have turned on Sean McVay. They're saying, well, Sean McVay, he brought this guy in, blah, 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 blah. And that goes back to my point that McVay has to figure this out with Matthew Stafford or he's going to die a thousand deaths is how this is going to play out. He's got to find the elixir to fix this and get back to playing the way that Stafford had been playing the first eight games of the season. But the genius is claiming that, you know, Matthew Stafford, because of his play, Sean McVay is on the hot seat. That is, in the age of knee-jerk overreactions, the golden age of knee-jerk overreactions, whoever came up with that one gets a doctorate in stupidity. Right. Now, I understand trolls are not the brightest bunch. I get it. Sean McVay did also screw up the clock. Right? Running the ball, what are you doing? You don't have timeouts in that late in the game. You know, sell the game. You know what I'm talking about. So we send him to Siberia. The idea that McVay is any kind of danger here is a load of manure. If he became available on the coaching market, and you say, okay, Sean McVay's in play, there would be half of the NFL lining up to give him a contract to come to their team. All right, so it's a load of manure thinking otherwise. Now, after the parade of stiffs, the Rams had a coach with Jeff Fisher and the other bozos back in their St. Louis days. Sean McVay can have this job as long as he wants. Right? No one's going to push him out. Now, maybe he'll leave at some point because he'll get bored or he'll want to go somewhere else, but they're not going to drag him out and say, you're done. And this is a good test. It's a good test for Stafford. It's a good test for the Rams in general. Stafford's never been on a good team. He's on a good team now. He's always had the excuse, Matthew Stafford, of he had a bunch of dogs with fleas around him. He had bad coaching. He had teammates that were inferior. Well, he doesn't have that anymore. And so I keep hearing that losing builds character. Right? That's a big losing builds character. We hear that a lot. There's the great Lou Holtz quote, which is so accurate, and he's not the only one to have said it, the old Notre Dame coach, who said that you're never as good as everyone tells you when you win, and you're also never as bad as they say when you lose. It's somewhere in the middle, and the Rams are someplace in the middle. We're not exactly splitting atoms here, I don't believe. Breaking this down, it's pretty simple. Don't throw the ball to the other team. And as far as the interceptions are Stafford's fault. I disagree with McVay on that. Now, the Rams receivers, some of these guys could fight a little more for the ball, and that's on them. When you know the pass is going the other way, and some of these have been bounced, but ultimately the interception goes back to the quarterback, and he's just got to play better. And the great news, the magic tonic, the Rams play Jacksonville. And if they lose to Jacksonville, they might as well just cancel the rest of the season. They can't beat Jacksonville. Just call it a season. That's it. Go home and rest up for next season, because that's a get back on track, feel good situation against Urban Meyer and Jackson.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, Koopaloo.
Bill Belichick was asked about the Hall of Fame semifinalists that were announced this past weekend, when he said it's really hard to have a conversation about it because there's no criteria. Ben, do you think sports Hall of Fames would be better with set benchmarks or criteria?
Yes, yes, yes. The only Hall of Fame that has criteria that I know of is in sports is the Baseball Hall of Fame. But even that's gone to hell because of steroids. So it used to be 300 wins you're in, 500 home runs you're in. Now 3,000 hits you're in. But because of the steroid stuff, it's changed, except they allow certain steroid guys in, suspected of steroids like Pudge Rodriguez and Piazza. So that's all fugazi. But football, I've said the Maller criteria. Were you a defensive player of the year or a regular season MVP? Were you an all-pro once? Were you on the all-decade team? Can the story of football be told without your name being mentioned in your era? You have to get two of those things to qualify. Next!
There was a report on Saturday that Miami boosters want the school to try and pry Mario Cristobal away from Oregon. Ben, do you think Cristobal would leave for the Hurricanes?
Yes, this guy's got Hurricane in his DNA. He's from Miami. He played for Jimmy Johnson. He was recruited by Jimmy Johnson in Miami. He coached as an assistant there. But it does come down to money, right? If they've got to come up with the money, if the money's the same, or if it's a little better at Oregon, you stay in Oregon. But all things being equal, you go to Miami. Absolutely. Next!
Charles Barkley was interviewed this week when he hinted at a potential end to his TV career, saying he has always had the goal of traveling the world when he turns 60. Ben, that's only a couple years away. Do you think he follows through with leaving?
Barkley's been saying this for the last several years. He signed another extension at TNT. I say there's a 30% chance. Charles Barkley is better at television than he was at basketball, and he was a Hall of Fame basketball player. He's the gold standard at television. And you have 4 months off, 5 months off in the NBA. Just keep doing it as long as you can do it, Charles. You can travel anytime you want in the offseason. How do we do, Koopaloop?
You passed this edition.
That's a winner at the buzzer.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, you sports figure guy or girl.
Who the hell are you talking to, son?
Here's some instant advice.
Hold that thought. No one's paid attention to me for 10 whole seconds.
And if you don't like it, you.
And away we go. The Insta Advice Line, Unscreen Radio. We open up Pandora's Box. A few words of wisdom from the Maller Militia. Who needs the advice, the knowledge, the gumption of the listeners to the Overnight Radio Show? That would be the University of Oklahoma. All right. They are replacing Lincoln Riley. He has gone to SC. So advice to Boomer Sooner on replacing Lincoln Riley. 877-99 on Fox is the number. 877-996-6369. We'll start out with you on line one. You're live on the air when you hear my voice. Hello, line one.
Talk to the wife, Boots. The wife.
All right. Talk to the wife. Line two. Hello, line two.
Get some sunshine and beaches. Maybe you guys can get some good coaches over there.
There you go. Just need a beachfront property in Oklahoma. You'll be good to go. Line three is next. Hello, line three.
Aaron Rodgers blows.
Okay, thank you. That will help Oklahoma out tremendously. Line four, we're giving advice to Oklahoma on how to replace Lincoln Riley. Hello, line four.
Hire the Dickster.
Okay, hire the Dickster. Well, Dick and Dayton does no football.
Take that data.
That's right. Line six. Hello, line six.
Man, tell Oklahoma go buy a blow-up doll for a coach.
Okay, there's Sean the Hood Guy. Just a nice blow-up doll is all you need. Line one. Hello, line one.
Number one.
Yeah, morning time. Cam Newton, he's back on the bench.
All right, thank you for that. That'll help Oklahoma out a lot. Line two. Hello, line two.
Happy birthday, Roberto.
Happy birthday,
yeah,
Roberto.
Baby.
We got that one in. We'll do one more, only one more. Koopaloop, which line should we pick?
Here we go. Line five.
Line five. Final piece of advice for Oklahoma. Line five.
I'm Bucky Camo, and for my Thanksgiving dinner.
You had nothing. You had nothing.